9, verse 10.
And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? You know, the super spiritual are always finding fault with everybody else in the world. There's nothing like getting too religious to mess you up. The Pharisees are always on the wrong side of every issue, and it's because they think so highly of themselves. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them that they should, that he be whole, need not a physician, but they that are sick. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and grace to preach. I pray you to be with our mouth, our mind, our tongue, that we might say those things which are convenient and right and good. Lord, may the word of God be quick and powerful this morning. Touch somebody's heart. Change somebody's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'll bring you a message this morning entitled, Doctor of Doctors. Now, everybody knows Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but you know he's the Doctor of Doctors. I'm not much on some kinds of doctors, and there's all kinds of doctors. You can get a doctorate in psychology. You can get a doctorate in theology. You can get a doctorate in engineering. You can get a doctorate in the medical field. There's all kinds. And I suppose some of that's good. It's a little bit overrated, you know. Sometimes what happens is people get educated beyond their intelligence. And even though they got a lot of degrees behind their name, doesn't mean anything. They're still dumber than a brick. Somebody say amen. If you don't believe it, you talk to some lawyers and some engineers. You can't figure out what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. They're lost in never land somewhere. But thank God for some doctors. They're a blessing. I'm glad we got them. And so I'm not criticizing all of them, but there's a million different kinds. And used to, you just had kind of a general practitioner and a surgeon. Now you got every kind of specialist you can imagine. I saw a sign the other day, Dr. So-and-so, podiatrist. I had to go look it up to figure out how to say it. I don't know what a podiatrist is, you know. Some guy works on toenails or something. Then they have optometrists and urologists and oncologists and... good night, man. I didn't know we had all that many parts in us, you know, but they got a doctor for everything that can malfunction. Now, I don't pay them much attention. I don't go to see them, and I don't listen to them. Well, all of them are practicing. Amen. They say they get out of medical school and get a degree, and then they're going to go up and down and open a practice. And that's what they mean that literally, because if you don't believe, listen, you go down to the doctor's office, and he goes in, and he listens to your chest, and takes your blood pressure, and checks your white blood count, and all that little tomfoolery they go through, you know. And then the guy said, okay, we don't know exactly what it is, but we're going to try this. And here's your prescription, and this is good for 30 days. If you don't have any improvement, I won't see you in 10 days. Why didn't that guy give me a 10-day supply? Why did I got about a 30-day supply? I never understood that. And you come back in 10 days and say, well, doc, I'm not any better. The symptoms haven't disappeared, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, then let's try different. They're practicing. They don't know what they're doing. I tried that working on their heat and air conditioning. I said, you know, I think this is the problem. So I'm going to adjust this, and if that don't work, you call me in about 10 days, we'll come back and try something else. And so the guy calls back in 10 days, and well, that didn't work. I said, okay, we go back, and then I fix it this time. And I charge him again. He said, no, you charged me twice. I said, you should have fixed it the first time. I said, well, I was just practicing. Doctors do that, don't they? I never could figure out why they're going to want you back in 10 days, and they got to give you a 30-day prescription. But and And when they talk to you, I know a particular doctor, and he's very competent. He's just probably the best in this whole area. But they talk about his bedside manner. This guy's just rough and gruff. But he does not do one thing to make you feel comfortable. He just says, you know, you got this big old thing in your ear, and I got to cut it out. If you'll be in here Tuesday, we'll do that. What's in there? Well, don't worry about it. It's just big old technical mumbo jumbo, doesn't mean anything. Just come on back. I'll take care of it. Just trust me. Not. I don't like them. You know, I went to one. Well, it's probably been 12 or 14 years ago. Went for a cold. I had 2 or 3 weeks and couldn't get rid of it. And I went. And he didn't get rid of it either. It finally wore itself out. And I haven't had one since. So I haven't been back to a doctor since. I don't trust them. But I'm just funning now. Doctors are important folks. And they do a tremendous amount of good. Especially in the medical community. But no matter what they do, it's only temporary. I don't care what you go down there with. If they fix it, it's just a matter of time till something else breaks. And then they got to go in and fix that. And you ever notice that it takes longer and longer to get it fixed? And it gets harder and harder to fix it? And after a while, they're going to say, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, we've done all we can. Now it's in God's hand. I thought, why didn't you put it in His hands in the first place? So there's just nothing. There's nothing left medical science can do. You're gonna have to trust God. I think I just start out trusting God. Now, some of those doctors make big, big bucks. I was listening to a commercial the other day. It was for Dr. Rezzy Moziani. I would never go to a guy with a name like that. First of all, I knew he was a foreigner. That wasn't no English sounding name. They talk about he's had 40,000 successful procedures. He's the best. And he charged an arm and a leg for his reputation. Amen? Them guys get rich. They see, some of them see a lot of patients, but you know, you go to a doctor's office anymore and they say, not accepting new patients. You can't get in. I'm real prone to skin cancers. I go see Dr. Lapin, the local quack, and a couple of times a year to get little things froze or burn off, whatever it is. And every time I go, he schedules me for a year down the road every time I go, so I've always got a standing appointment. But if you need to go early, you can't get in tomorrow. You can't even get in next week. I missed an appointment. So I called up a couple of days later. Well, in fact, I called early and said, I'm not going to be able to make it. So my next appointment I could get was 2 months later. I thought, you know, if this is serious, I could be dead. What if this thing metastasizes and gets all of my blood and I'm shot, you know, and gets in my lymph nodes and all because you wouldn't see me? They're just not taking any new customers. You can't get in. Their schedules are full. They're overworked. And they really are. The honest truth, I really have a lot of respect for doctors. I really do. I'm just picking on them this morning. But I know a doctor. And this doctor is absolutely incredible. Now, the doctors of this world work on the body, and that's fine. But the doctor I want to talk about this morning works on the other part of you, the spiritual part of you, the real part of you. Now, I know some of you think you are you and you are what's important. And the honest truth is, really, God don't care much about that outside part of you. You ever hear folks say, well, if there's a God in heaven, I don't know how in the world He could have let this happen and let all them people die. And what they're concerned about is their body. Well, listen, it's dead anyway. It's just a matter of time and place. God don't get upset about 10,000 people getting killed. as far as the flesh, God's concerned about the soul. Now, most folks got the idea that this is them. This ain't you. Let me message in a minute. Y'all not going anywhere, and we got dinner right here. Y'all ever watch? You ever watch heavy equipment, bulldozers and graders and that kind of stuff? I like that stuff. I don't want to do it. I mean, I wouldn't want to sit out there in that thing all day. But I like to watch them guys grading roads and riding down a hillside, 60-degree angle. But you ever look up there, and here's this big yellow machine. And I've never figured out why do they paint some of them things green? They're all yellow. Anyway, the guy's sitting up there in that cockpit, and there's about four or five levers over here and four or five levers over there, and there's about five or six pedals down here and a throttle and all kind of stuff. And that guy sits up there in that little cab, and he pushes them levers and pulls them handles and steps on them pedals, and that thing turns and goes and climbs and raises the blade and extends the boom and all. Now, it takes the bulldozer and the driver to get anything done, right? But the bulldozer and the man aren't the same thing. This is the bulldozer. I, Dr. Robert Hensley, am the little guy inside. I'm the little guy inside pulling the levers. And I'm sometimes spastic. Sometimes when I pull a lever, things don't work just like I wanted it to. You understand my point? This ain't really you. This is the bulldozer you're riding around in. And the reason you can't see me is all my doors are closed. Amen. So God don't get too upset about the body like we do. We're much more concerned about the flesh than we are the spiritual. And this morning I want to talk to you about a doctor that is more concerned about your soul than he is about your body. Because he knows that's going to die anyway. Amen. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. So let me give you, I've really got to hurry because I have 14 points this morning. Not to despair, I'll get through them. Let me tell you about a doctor. This is the doctor, Lord Jesus Christ. In the text we read, you know, he said, they that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. He came to seek and to save. He came to heal. He is the doctor of doctors. And I want to talk to you about him for a few minutes because there's nobody else like him. He is the only doctor in his field. He's the only one. Man, you pick up the phone book, and if you can ever get past the lawyers, you can find the doctors. And them two specialties take up 60% of the yellow pages. It's just page after page after page after page of doctors. Amen? And you pick up any field, you pick up oncology. Good night. There must be 5,000 cancer doctors in Rock Hill, York County. They're everywhere. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only doctor in his field in the entire world. If you have a spiritual problem, if your soul is in trouble, you have got to go see Dr. Jesus, or you don't get to see anybody. I'm here to tell you, Buddha and all them guys are quacks. Their credentials are fake. They have no power, they have no training, and they can heal nobody, and they can fix nothing. You got to go to Jesus, or you got nothing. So let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Number one, his qualifications. Well, he's a doctor of engineering because he is the designer and the builder of your bulldozer. He sat down in collaboration with the Father and the Holy Ghost and figured out how to make you. They figured out all the piping and the wiring and the structure and the tensile strength and the shear strength and how many BTUs it takes to make you operate and how much current's got to pump through your body and how much storage capacity you needed in your computer. He is an engineer beyond imagination. David said, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I mean, when God sat down and figured out how to make man, He did a job that science had been trying to figure out for years and years and years. And nobody can come anywhere near figuring out how, what kind of job God did when He created the human body. He's qualified because He's the designer and the builder. He's an engineer that put us together. Then He's a great doctor because of His experience. He's been operating now for 6,000 years and He's had over 12 billion patients. How's that for a resume? Say, would you fill out your resume? How much experience do you have? Say, 6,000 years. How many patients have you seen? 12 billion. Did anybody that ever come to you pass away, die prematurely, meet a, you know, have a terminal experience? No. Everyone that ever came to me got healed. What's your success rate? Oh, 100%. Now, not everybody comes, see? A lot of folks go to quacks. They go to midwives. They go all kind of strange places. But everybody that ever came to Dr. Jesus got healed. They got fixed. So He's got a tremendous experience background. Not only that, if you're looking for a doctor, what you're looking for is, of course, experience and expertise. You know, I don't want the guy that finished 49th in a class of 50. That graduated with a C-minus average. You know, all these folks go to all these little emergency, what do you call them? Little places, trauma units, where you get your finger cut and they go down and stitch it up. You know why them guys work there? It's the only place they can get a job. With their grade point average, nobody will hire them. Somehow got no sense of humor at all. Where was I at? Accessibility. Now, I don't care how good the guy is, if you can't get to him, he's not any good to you. Amen? When I got a problem, I want to see the doctor. I don't want the nurse to say, "Well, we could have an intern look at you." I don't talk to no intern. So, "Well, we can give you an appointment, but it's going to be 4 months from now." "I'm sorry. Have we seen you before?" "No, ma'am." "Well, we're not accepting any new patients." I don't hear that. I get sick, I call a doctor. I want a guy to say, "Come in here this afternoon." Because I'm one of them guys that when I get something wrong, I fret. I get something wrong, I always know it's terminal. I've died about 1,000 times. I want to see him, don't you? Now listen, when you go to Dr. Jesus, there will not be sitting on the counter. We expect payment for services at time of rendering unless otherwise arranged. And I don't want to see that. We're not accepting any new patients. I don't want to see a thing that's there we are referring to. I want to see the doctor, amen? And listen, Jesus is always there. He is always acceptable. You can come anytime, day or night, on holidays and weekends and off hours and between shifts. I don't care what time it is. I don't care who you are. You can come to Jesus Christ anytime. Today is the day of salvation. If you harden not your heart, now is the accepted time. He'll take you right this minute. All that come unto me will in no wise be cast out. He'll turn anybody down. I like that. He's accessible. He's available. He's open 24/7. I like His availability. They say, "Well, you can't see the doctor. He's on vacation." He can't go on vacation. I'm dying. Didn't he know I was going to need an appendectomy? What kind of doctor is that? Call him back from the Bahamas.
You can't get a hold of him. Amen? He's gone. You say, well, he's not on duty. You know, they get three or four doctors in cahoots with each other and then they rotate. When you can't get yours, you got to take somebody else. And I don't like somebody else. I'm comfortable with this guy. We have a rapport. We play golf together. We have camaraderie. I want my doctor. Well, I'm sorry, he's not here. Even doctors have to have vacation. Not Dr. Jesus. He's available all the time. He is open 24/7. Amen. He's just like Walmart. He don't close down. I'm glad that you can find him when you need him. He's always accepting new patients and he's always on the job. There's not going to be a day or a week or a month out of the year when he's not there and you're going to miss your opportunity. I'm here to tell you, if you come looking for him, he is available and he is accessible. Now, there's always a delicate side to any undertaking. Of course, if you go see one of today's doctors, you have to understand before you go that there's going to be a fee. Somebody said one time, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Amen. Everything costs you something. So what about the rates? Well, I don't worry about it because I got insurance. Yeah, that's why the rates are as high as they are. Because everybody's running to the doctor when they don't need to because somebody else is paying the bill for you. If you had to pay that bill yourself, you wouldn't go one-tenth as many times as you go. Amen? Biggest damaging thing done to the American Medical Association and system in the last 75 years is insurance. Well, you have to have it. Oh, you don't have to have it. I got by 5,900 years without it. Amen. But I'm not going to get on that. You're welcome to your opinion. You go down to see the doctor and they say, fill out this form. They want to know what kind of insurance you got. The guy won't work on you until he finds out. I had a little skin cancer here behind my ear a year or so ago, and my local quack took it off, and he didn't get it. And the thing came back. I had to go to see a surgeon, so I go over there. And the guy looks at me and said, yeah. He said, we need to do this, that, and the other. And he said, fill this out. And I fill out all this paperwork and just find out what kind of insurance I got. And so he's standing there at the table, me and him shooting the breeze. And it really was a pretty nice fellow. We had a good time. And I thought, well, why are we standing here? He said, they're verifying your insurance. From the time I walked in and he looked at me until he was through stitching it up, put five stitches in there, was less than 20 minutes and he cost me $1,400. Man, he must have paid a tremendous amount of money for his education. He's paying back his loan. Y'all know they don't pay them things back, don't you? Anyway, they wouldn't work on me until they got my insurance. And then his rates were unbelievable. This was an office visit, outpatient status, took less than 20 minutes, $1,400. So, well, my HMO takes care of mine. Mine too. Buddy, when you come to Jesus, there is no fee to the patient. There is no fee. I didn't say there wasn't any fee. I said there was no fee to the patient. There's a tremendous fee. I'm here to tell you, a man with 6,000 years of experience, 12 million patients, who is a designer and the engineer of the product, and who bats 1,000, who has 100% success rate, is not cheap. I'm here to tell you, he's going to charge an arm and a leg. But it's his arm and leg. Amen. Salvation is expensive. It bankrupted heaven. It took God's only begotten Son to purchase your salvation. but it's paid by the HMO. He made the offering. I like that point. That was good, wasn't it? I thought so. He made the offering. It didn't cost me anything. Jesus paid it all. And buddy, I'm telling you what, if you need the services of the world's greatest soul surgeon, you can come down and get treatment and it won't cost you a dime. Amen. I love that. Not only are his rates the best in the world, who can come? Who can come? Anybody who's sick. Anybody that's sick. Well, they that be well need not a physician. Right? That's what our text said. But they that be sick, they the ones what needs a doctor. So now if you got an ailment, if you're sick, you can come on in and see Dr. Jesus. Anybody that knows they're lost, anybody that knows they're a sinner, anybody that knows that the wages of sin is death, you can come to Jesus Christ for treatment. You can turn anybody down. Now, it's going to upset some of you Southerners, but he'll see blacks. Just got to get over it. Amen. He sees folk from Iran and Iraq. He'll see a Jew. He'll see a redneck from Arkansas. And if he'll see them, he'll see anybody. Who can come? Anybody that is sick. Now, what about the results of his office visits? Well, you know, I don't know a whole lot about doctors, you know. But every time I ever win, the first thing I want to do is they want to check your blood pressure. I don't know why that's so necessary. But what, they check your blood pressure. Then they want to take and prick your finger and get a little sample of blood and check your red blood count, white blood count, whatever it is they're looking for in there. They always do that. That's just, I think it's just filler time, you know, for the doctor to get ready. Then he comes in, he looks at you and says, well, we need to do some blood work. Now, buddy, I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, but I've read a little bit. And I know that, buddy, if you get somebody that's really sharp, they can tell you just about what you had for breakfast with a blood screen. I mean, they get in there and start doing that blood gases and all that stuff. You can't believe what all they can find out about you. They can find your mama's maiden name. I mean, just they can find all kind of stuff out looking at your blood. They do a blood panel. And you don't have to wait 3 or 4 days for some technician to come in and read it and then advise the doctor. Say, why? Because Dr. Jesus takes the blood panel and he does a diagnosis on it right there and finds out what your blood disorder is. Your problem is your red blood cell count is way down because you are terminally ill with sin. The wages of sin is death. You got a blood disease, for the life of the flesh is in the blood thereof. And boy, back there, when old Adam sinned and messed up the bloodline, been passing that thing down, it's hereditary. If you're born of the seed of Adam, you got it. And it's terminal if left untreated. Prognosis. Death. Do you need a second opinion? No. He's given this same diagnosis over and over and over again for 6,000 years, and he has never been wrong one time. The mortality rate is still 100%. Man is born a woman in a few days. What is your life? It's even as a vapor that appeareth for a little season and passeth away. You're going to die. It's born unto man once to die. What's the prognosis? Terminal. You ever go down to the doctor, you know, and you're sitting there talking to them, and they've got you about half scared to death. One, he's using words you don't understand. And then you get the sense he's dragging his feet. There's something he's wanting to say, but he's don't want to just say it out. He don't know whether you can take it or not. Now, he may or may not be thinking that. That's what you think he thinks. Hey, man, you'd be a whole lot better off not to think about anything, but he gets through. But we don't work that way. I just had the feeling that he was just not telling me everything. You ever been there? Well, if you go down to the doctor's office, he does all the exam and all this, that, and the other, and does the blood work, comes back with a diagnosis. And what you really want to know is, what is the prognosis? Doc, am I going home tonight? Am I going to live? And Dr. Jesus said, the prognosis of your disease, it is in an advanced stage. It's acute. Anybody that had cancer, you know, the minute that doctor says the C word, they think, I'm dead. When they say the C word, they think, terminal. Now, and it's not always the case, but boy, that big word scares us to death, does it not? You say, well, Doc, what can I do? I don't want to die. Is there any treatment? Conventional, homeopathic, non-traditional? Is there a quack in Texas? I mean, is there anything that I can do to remedy this disease? I don't want to be terminally ill. I don't want to die. Well, there is one fella. And there is one procedure. What's that? Don't be shy. Tell me. You got to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. That'll cure your blood disease. Those blood-borne pathogens that are ravaging your body will be eradicated. You'll put into the bloodstream of the Creator Himself, and eternity, an eternal life will course through your veins if you get washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, the real bottom line in all medical treatment is the result of the treatment. When all is said and done, we really are not interested in all their terminology, all the psychobabble they give us to confuse us with how smart they are and how much education they have. You know, saying, Doc, I got these headaches. Oh, I've got a prescription for you. And he writes it out. He said, what's this? He said, this is a salicylic acid. I want you to take two of these and you take a nap. So what is a salicylic acid? Aspirin. Well, I can charge you $25 for a salicylic acid, and I can charge you $2 for aspirin. Amen. They've tried to buffalo you with their terminology. Three blind mice, see how they run, right? The farmer's wife cut off their tails with a carving knife, see how they run. Now that's worth a dollar. But this, three sightless rodents, see how they scamper about. The agriculturist spouse severed their extremities with a carving utensil, see how they scamper about. That's worth $20. 90% of all that stuff is just mumbo jumbo. They could say it in plain English if they wanted to, but then they couldn't impress you and they couldn't charge you. What we really want to get past all the nonsense, what's the result of the treatment that you gave me? They said, well, we have it in remission. That's almost as bad as having it. Because now you don't know when it's going to stick its ugly head up again. And you got to keep coming back for checkups to make sure it has not reappeared or reoccurred. I just had a good friend that passed on, went to be with the Lord. He had liver cancer. He was exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam. And he went down and they did a bunch of tests on him. And they said, you got a tumor in your liver here. And they went in and did a bunch of surgery and took it out and treated it with radiation and fed him that rat poison stuff, that combination, you know, that cocktail they get him to drink. He went back a couple months later. And the doctor said, oh, it looks good. Won't you come back in 6 months? He goes back a couple months later for his last checkup, and they said, oops, it's back. And it's back with a vengeance. He said, well, what can we do? They said, ain't nothing we can do. We've done all we can. Sometimes you go to a doctor, and they're successful, and sometimes they're not. And all being ugly, I think they really do try to do the best they can. For the most part, I think they're decent, compassionate people. They just fail. They're just limited. But I'm here to tell you, if you take the prescribed treatment down at Dr. Jesus' office and get washed in the blood of the Lamb to take care of that blood-borne sin problem you got, the success rate is 100%. Nobody that ever came to Jesus went away with the disease still there. He eradicates it. He takes care of it in one shot, one application, one treatment, one visit to the doctor. It's fixed. Once and for all and forever. You can come back 6 months, a year, 15 years, 33 years, and you're still well. Total cure. I love that. Stamp on that chart. Disease free. You know, some people get surgery and this, that, and the other, and they say that most folks who have this surgery live at least 5 years after the surgery. How comforting. What a blessing. I'm looking at a time clock now. 4 years and 11 months left. 3 years and 3 months left. I'm on the downhill side. What a miserable way. Listen, I go and look at Jesus and I say, how am I doing? Fine. Any sign of the disease? No, sir. When it's taken away, it never comes back. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a son of God, and His seed remaineth in us that we cannot sin. I'm sealed. Now, this old body still messes up, but it was going to die anyway. We ain't even worked on this stupid thing. We gave up on it. We threw the towel on this thing. But that part Jesus fixed, that soul that's inside, that eternal, everlasting part inside, why, when He fixed it, He sealed it. And there's not a germ or a bacteria or a virus known to God Almighty that can get through that seal and mess up. But when He fixes, you're fixed. Side effects of treatment. you ever listen to the commercials on TV for different medications and stuff? They come on and tell you how wonderful their product is and what all it can do for you. And they say, now it's not for women who are pregnant or might become pregnant. Yeah, you know, common side effects are bleeding, nausea, headaches, upper respiratory infections. Most side effects are moderate to mild. I don't know whether the cure is worth it or not, amen? I think I just keep what I got. They always got to list them side effects. What it means is you're just trading one set of bad things for another set of bad things. You just figure out, you got what you have to do is figure out which one you can live the longest with. There's always a result or side effects to medicine. Taking aspirin messes up your blood pressure. Eat sugar messes up your blood work. eat a candy bar and go down and get your blood work done, and for 2 or 3 hours it's all whacked out. One lousy candy bar. You go down to get your blood pressure taken and say, how long has it been since you had anything to eat? Say, why? Because everything you put in you does something to you. And you start putting medicine in there. You know what antibiotics means? Biotic means life, right? Anti means against life. Antibiotics is something that kills something. You say, well, we put it in there to kill all these bad germs. Yeah, but it kills all kind of good stuff too. Amen? Always a side effect. Now, there's side effects to Dr. Jesus too. I got to admit it. I would like to cover it up if I could. And I'll do my best to put my best face on it. I want it to sound as pleasant and pleasing as possible. But I must tell you, in all honesty, that there are side effects to this treatment from Dr. Jesus. So what are they? Well, number one, you get a new heart to love God. I'm a recipient of a heart transplant. He took away my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And this old heart that used to curse God and blaspheme God and use Him as a swear word, now that heart loves Him and treasures Him and wants to honor Him and glorify Him. When I got Dr. Jesus' treatment, He gave me a new heart, and that new heart loves Jesus Christ. That new heart loves God. That new heart loves the house of God. That new heart loves the people of God. Wow. One of the side effects of the treatment is eye surgery. He opened mine eyes that I might see. I like John chapter 9. The Pharisees are giving this old boy a hard time, and finally he just got fed up with it, you know. He said, this one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And he said, I don't care who this doctor was, and I don't care what kind of methods he used, how unorthodox he was, and I don't care if he's not approved by the American Medical Association. All I know was I was blind, and now I see. Amen. And buddy, I know when I got saved, God opened my eyes, and things that I never saw, never could perceive, never could understand, never could get a handle on, God opened my eyes through the Holy Spirit in that blessed old book that I might see things and behold wondrous things out of His Word. Now see, I always worry about folks who say they've been to see Dr. Jesus. And the first thing you hear him say is, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see why we can't do that. Well, I don't see why that has to be like that. And you listen to him for 30 minutes and the sucker can't see. Well, I don't think you went to the same doctor I went to. My doctor opened my eyes, amen. It's one of the side effects. Not only did I get a new heart to love God, I got eyes open to see clearly. I got my feet put in the right way to walk the straight and narrow. You see, before I was lame and I hobbled around, and sometimes I was in the right place, sometimes I wasn't. Sometimes I did right, sometimes I didn't. But when I got saved, when I saw Dr. Jesus, He put me on the straight and the narrow way. Amen. Now, so when I see folks say, oh, I've been to see Dr. Jesus, but they on the broad way. Well, you ain't supposed to be over there. You're supposed to be over here on the narrow way. Say, how come? Well, it's one of the side effects. When Jesus cured your sin problem, and took care of your blood-borne problem and healed you and gave you eternal life, there were some side effects, and some of those side effects is a new heart that loves God. There's a new eyes to see what's right and see clearly, and there's a new walk so you can walk pleasing unto Him. Not only that, one of the side effects is He opened my ears to hear the truth. You know, before I got saved, I used to read the Bible. I don't know why. I didn't believe nothing in it. And the reason I didn't believe it, because it didn't make a lick of sense to me. You know, I could read the Bible, and I could see the history in it. And I could verify the history in the Bible with the history in the world. I could understand that. But I never saw one thing spiritual about that Bible. It was just a book. I read it from cover to cover more than once before I ever got saved. And it was never a blessing to me. I never got excited. It never brought tears. It never grabbed my imagination. It was just like any other book. I've been a reader all my life. I read it a pretty good clip, and my comprehension's not as bad as you might think from the way I talk. I've read a lot. And most of the time, unless it's a really technical book, let me go through it one time, and I've got about 90% of it. Now, sometimes it's in real technical terms. I'm going to have to read it twice. I read that Bible two or three times, and it never did anything. I didn't get nothing out of it. It was just a dead, dull, boring, lifeless, worthless collection of myth and lore. Then I got under conviction, and the Holy Spirit drew me to Jesus Christ. And I received Him by faith. And when I did, He opened my eyes and my ears so that I could hear that book. I started to read that thing, and honest before God, it was like every word in it was in neon. I was getting something out of everything. A book that had said nothing, now just spoke volumes. And I could take one little passage, one little sentence, and think about it and meditate on it, or preach on it, or teach on it for hours. You ask my wife, I've been doing this over 30 years, and the only problem I've ever had is getting it shortened down enough to get it in 45 minutes. I can take a word and preach for 2 hours. I ride around in my car. Everything I see makes me think about preaching. I ride down the road. One day I'm tooling down through there, and there was a billboard over here. And it said, "Come bank with us." I said, "Boy, that'll preach." I wrote a 6-point outline on banks. Things you can bank on. You can bank on the blood. You can bank on the birth. That book was so dead. And then I got saved. I went to Dr. Jesus, and He opened my eyes and He opened my ears, and that thing just talks to me all the time. I see stuff day and night in that old book. I think if you go to the same doctor, you're supposed to see something too. I think you're supposed to hear something too. It's one of the side effects. It messes you up for living in this present evil world. This is not my home anymore. Number 11. Post-cure recommended treatment. You know, every time you go to the doctor and they do something for you, they say, "Now, to keep this from coming back, or to do this, you need certain lifestyle changes. You need to change your diet. You need to change your routine. There's certain things you need to do to help prevent reoccurrence of this problem. To enhance your present lifestyle, to lengthen your life, to ensure your longevity, there are certain things we recommend after our procedure." Anybody ever experienced that? Well, there are some recommended post-treatment things from Dr. Jesus. And here's what He recommends. If you want to stay spiritually healthy after you get saved. Number one, 1 hour of prayer taken daily. It'll do wonders for you. Just spend about 1 hour a day praying. Amen? 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night. Or you can be a Daniel kind of a prayer warrior, morning, noon, and night. Or maybe you know yourself and you know you're not that disciplined, and just knock it all out at one time. Start about 1 hour early in the morning. Go in and wash your face, brush your teeth, and go down and have about 1 hour of prayer. Amen. Or maybe you're not a morning person. You get out of bed at 7, you open your eyes at 10. I know a lot of folks like that. Then maybe you need to learn to pray in the evening. Amen. Take your shower, put on your jam, go in your bedroom, get down by yourself and spend some time praying. But one of the recommended post-treatment options is a life of prayer. Amen. Because when we pray, that's us talking to God. The Bible said, draw nigh unto Him, He will draw nigh unto you. And you need to spend some time in prayer if you want to stay healthy. If you don't want this disease to reoccur, and if you don't want the effects of it in your life, even though the disease is cured, you don't want to feel like you still got it. You need to spend some time in prayer. Post-cure recommended treatment. Minimum of three chapters in the King James Bible taken daily. Amen. Sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. You want your life like it ought to be, you need to spend some time reading that Bible. People say, well, I don't have time. You know, I've got to read the newspaper every day. You had a sports section, right? Hagar the Horrible. They even had a cartoon in there a couple weeks ago about Brother Mark. I cut it out and it's in my desk drawer. I'm serious. I cut that thing out. I have to bring it to him on his day. It's a guy, he's in a doctor's office, and they've got three x-ray panels up there of a guy's brain. And one technician is talking to the doctor, and the doctor's pointing to this one place. He said, now, except for this little tiny area of normal brain activity, the rest of his brain is filled full of useless sports statistics. He knew I was going to get him. He knew that. You need to read that Bible. If you got to let the paper go, you got to let them romance novels go, okay, read that book. Now, post-operative treatment includes three church services taken weekly. That means Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you need to be in God's house for a checkup. Amen? Brother, when you go down to King Jesus and you get cured, you ought to come down here every time that door's open to sing and pray and praise God and be taught, admonished, rebuked, instructed in the Word of God. Trying to keep you healthy after you get saved. You know why there's so many Christians out there that are anemic and sick and it looks like their disease is reoccurring? They don't read, they don't pray, and they don't go to church. You can't stay healthy like that. Then there's miscellaneous things you can do, like witnessing good works as opportunity permits. All those things will help you. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And I'm way over time, so I'm cut some of this out. If you haven't seen the doctor yet, he's in today. Amen? He's in today. Dr. Jesus is here. And if you've got a problem, you can find him today. Isn't that a blessing? You don't have to wait till Monday. You don't have to schedule an appointment. Walk-ins accepted. I saw that at a beauty salon. You gotta get something out of everything you see, man. Amen? Life is short. Get all you can. I saw that. It said, walk-ins accepted. I said, I'd use that somewhere. Number 12, 13, whatever it is. If you've been to Dr. Jesus and you're not following the post-cure routine, you need to get started today. If you're saved and not living right, now would be a good time to get back in step. Amen. And last, if you've been cured, tell others. Pass out his business card. Get yourself a handful of tracts. I listened to Al Gardner and Stacy What's-Her-Face on WBT most mornings going to work. And she's the one that recommends Dr. Reggie Moziani. I practiced for a week to be able to say that without stuttering. She said, "He's my eye doctor." She said, "I researched before I went, and he had the best credentials in town. And I talked to him in depth before we had the procedure. And I felt like he was qualified and he was the best. So I put my eyes in his hand. And now my eyesight's better than 20/20. And if you have a problem, you need to come see Dr. Reggie Moziani. He's one of the only eye doctors in our area who has completed a cornea fellowship, whatever that is." She said, "He's my doctor." She recommended him. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that 33 years ago I was dead in trespasses and sins and on my way to hell. And I had no peace and no joy. My life was empty and shallow. And William R. Pace, an old redneck, took an old red-backed 187X Schofield Bible, set me down in my living room and took me to Dr. Jesus. And he healed this old boy and washed me in the blood of the Lamb, opened my eyes, put me on the straight and narrow, opened my ears, filled my heart with peace and joy and love, gave me a brand new heart. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I recommend it to everybody. If you're on your way to hell, if you've got a sin disease that's going to destroy you and take you to a devil's hell, come see my doctor. Come see him. Come see him. He can heal. He can cure. He can give you everything you've ever wanted. Peace that passes all understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. All from Dr. Jesus. And all without price to you. The HMO takes care of it all. He made the offering. The fire. Father, we thank you now for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I pray, if there's anybody